Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Be informed about what you drink, just how much caffeine does that beverage contain? Hi friends, welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is July 20th and we're on the second day of our health article for this month. Young adults plus energy drinks equal a bad mix? We're finding out that yes, it does. This combination is a dangerous one, and we had some pretty sobering evidence yesterday, some sad news to tell us just how serious this can be. I'm Naomi, back in the studio today with Catherine and Steve. Now, Steve, where did we start off yesterday?
Yesterday, we started off with a math equation up at the top. It's part of the title, Young Adults Plus Energy Drinks Equals a Bad Mix. And I think part of the answer, as we said, we determined that, yes, it is a bad mix. For many years, adults drinking energy drinks was okay. It wasn't in the news too much. But now younger and younger children, younger athletes are drinking these energy drinks, and it's raising concern.
Right. Now, Catherine, why is it raising concern?
Well, because we're hearing more and more stories about kids who are getting sent to the hospital for heart arrhythmia or heart irregularities.
Right. Their hearts start beating too quickly. It can lead to illnesses and even death if it's not caught in time. So there's a lot of factors that contribute to this being a problem. It sounds like just drinking a little caffeine shouldn't be too big a deal. But we talked yesterday about how if you add the wrong thing to that caffeine consumption, you get into big trouble.
That's right. One thing is this: if you have these drinks while you're participating in a sport, it leads to an increased risk of dehydration, which is very dangerous.
Right?
Yeah. We talked about the fact that energy drinks affect the body with dehydration, but they can also affect a person's mental health. So those who have ADHD or who are on other medications, when you combine energy drinks in this equation, it could be really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that could be a physical issue as well, where if you're on one kind of medication, adding something like caffeine can be a big problem. So lots of issues at play here. And part of the reason why this seems to be becoming a big issue is that people aren't very well informed.
That's right. And we hope that this article helps rectify some of that, that we can present some facts on both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm. But one of the issues we were talking about was how the label requirements for this kind of beverage are lax.
That's right. We learned that sometimes they don't always have to put exactly what is in the drink on the label, which is dangerous because you need to know what you're drinking, what you're consuming, what's going into your body.
Right. Now, I think this point is a good one to consider. I mean, whether you are into energy drinks or not, making decisions about what you eat, it can be a bit of a challenge to make good choices. And sometimes when you find out what's in something, you kind of change your habits a little bit. Have you ever had that experience?
Yes. I used to drink diet sodas a lot. But then I found out that there's something in it called aspartame, which has people have said that it can cause a lot of different kinds of cancer. So mm-hmm. I stayed away from that now because I would rather not risk it.
Right. So. Yeah. I used to drink Jendunai cha, pearl milk tea on a regular basis. And then I just found out how much sugar and how many calories. And I thought, oh, wow, okay, I don't need one of these every day. Now it's a very rare treat for me.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who stopped eating hot dogs after they learned what actually went into the hot dogs. But I still eat them. But what I stopped doing so much is drinking soda as well because of the sugar content. Mm-hmm. And I always remember my grandmother, when I was a little child, my grandmother would always warn us, sugar is poison to the body. And that was her mantra when she saw us drinking sodas. And so she's happy today. I'm not really a huge soda drinker. You know, it worked.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, so being informed, I think, can definitely make you a healthier person, help you make better choices. And that's the case here as well. The more people understand what's in these drinks, the less likely they are to consume them maybe at the wrong time or in the wrong way or too much of them. And so part of what we'll be talking about today is exactly what is in these and how they get consumed. So please continue with us on page 33 as we start with our reading for today.
Conflicting opinions. At issue is a dizzying array of products with widely varying levels of caffeine, sugars, carbohydrates, and other additives, including herbal supplements. Most best-selling energy drinks contain about 80 milligrams of caffeine per 8 ounces, though they are often sold in containers as large as 20 to 24 ounces. Other, more extreme products abound, some of them in mix-your-own powders or concentrates. In strengths, researchers say, range from about 50 to 500 milligrams per serving. At their maximum strength, energy drinks contain about 300 milligrams more than the 2-ounce shots of 5-hour energy frequently seen near checkout counters. Beverage industry officials contend their products are not dangerous when used in moderation by healthy people. For a healthy person, probably one is not going to kill you, but we don't know. John P. Higgins, a sports cardiologist at the University of Texas, said, I think it's the combination of things in these energy beverages, he added, cautioning about interactions.
Okay, so conflicting opinions on energy drinks. And again, we aren't just talking about these electrolyte-heavy energy drinks like Gatorade and Super Supow and so on. Those are probably just fine, but it has to do with these caffeinated options that are becoming more and more popular. Now, we say at issue, and when we say at issue to begin this sentence, could be a little confusing.
Yeah, so in other words, it's saying the topic of what we're talking about. And there's a dizzying array of products. This is the issue. This is the main focus of this particular section of the lesson, is that there's a dizzying array of products. There's many, 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 many kinds of products with varying levels of caffeine and sugars and so forth. And it's a huge, huge market now. And as I said before, a lot of these companies are now marketing to younger and younger children to make their money. And that's a big concern.
Right. But even for adults, I think it can be dizzying. In other words, you look at all of them and your head starts to spin a little bit because you can't make sense of it. You're looking at so many different labels and names and products and you don't know what to think. And so all these products contain what?
It says varying levels of caffeine, sugar, carbohydrates, and other additives or just things that they've put in to try to improve it.
Mm-hmm. And those can include herbal supplements. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get into that topic, again, you're looking at maybe most of them are more natural and possibly less risky than something like caffeine. But again, if you combine the wrong amounts or wrong ingredients or you're taking another medication, things can go wrong.
Right, right. I've seen energy drinks with vitamins added, vitamin D, vitamin C added. Those are some other additives that are popular mm-hmm. in energy drinks, too.
Okay. Now, moving on to the best-selling energy drinks, most of them contain a certain amount of caffeine. It says 80 milligrams per 8 ounces, though what?
Though they are often sold in containers as large as 20 to 24 ounces. So that means that most cans usually have a lot more, nearly double or triple the amount of caffeine in that can.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have to do your math when you're shopping because the label on the back will say 80 milligrams per 8 ounces. But if the can is 24 ounces, you have to multiply that in your head by 3.
Right.
The label's not going to tell you that.
Now, to get a little more perspective and to do a little more math here, let's try to compare this. In your average 8 ounces of coffee, how much caffeine would there be?
Well, about 80 to 120 milligrams on average, depending what kind of coffee.
Okay, so when you look at that measurement, you think, okay, this is just like coffee. Mm-hmm. But again, maybe you're not multiplying it by three. Three cups of coffee versus one, that's a big difference. Can you compare that to anything else with caffeine?
Well, I know that tea usually has 40 to 50 milligrams, and soda, an average can of soda, has to have less than 65 milligrams of caffeine.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So for soda, there are regulations about how much caffeine can be in there. But for these energy drinks, they can do whatever they want.
Right. They're not regulated, as we'll learn a little later. They're not regulated by the government as much as these other drinks. But that's starting to change, we'll find out.
Okay. Now, other more extreme products abound. And if something abounds, it means there is a lot of it. And so, in other words, there are products with even more caffeine that are easily available. And some of them are in what form?
It says mix your own powders or concentrates. So you can make your own drinks at the strength that you want it to be, I believe. You know, you can choose how much caffeine will be in it.
Yeah. Right. And so in strengths that researchers say range from 50 to 500 milligrams per serving. Wow. That's hard for me to imagine, a serving of 500 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah. What is that? It would be like a paste of caffeine. You're drinking caffeine paste.
That's like six cups of coffee at one time.
A triple shot espresso or something.
Two triple shot espressos. Wow. Okay. So at their maximum strength, energy drinks contain what?
300 milligrams more than the 2 ounce shots of 5-hour energy. And 5-hour energy is a little thing that you can just drink really quickly, and it's supposed to give you 5 hours of increased energy.
Okay, so we have a little example of that, a picture on page 32 of the little bottle of 5-Hour Energy. So that's the name of the product. So that's a 2-ounce shot, they call it. In other words, a quick blast of sort of power for you. It's supposed to give you 5 hours of energy. But these energy drinks can be much more severe than that in their strength. So in other words, these drinks are kind of getting out of control.
Out of control, yeah. And well, let's just say it now that in the sidebar we see that the FDA does not regulate caffeine in energy drinks. But since that was written, things are changing, and the FDA has taken steps, not big steps, but some small steps, for example, to make these companies label accurately what's inside the can. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. They now have to say the level of caffeine that's in every drink, no matter what.
Okay, and maybe possibly part of the reason why has to do with what else we see in this sidebar. So let's turn to it for a moment. Caffeine and your body. Can you begin reading it for us, Catherine?
Yes. We are looking at where the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, is investigating deaths linked to popular caffeine drinks. We find out that these are the fastest growing type of soft drink in the U.S.
Okay, good. So now what happens when you give your body this blast of caffeine? Well, first of all, we see that without caffeine, what happens?
Well, in the nerve cells, signals move between the cells by the release and absorption of two neurotransmitter chemicals. So that affects the transmission in our nerve cells.
Right. So we've talked about synapses firing before and how it's basically the connections that happen in your body. And if you add caffeine to this process, basically without caffeine, everything just goes normally. Two things, there's sort of an exchange that just happens naturally. But without caffeine, things get kind of complicated. There are other factors here now.
We're looking at adenosine and dopamine. Without caffeine, it says adenosine ties up dopamine receptors, and that makes you tired. So it blocks the dopamine, which affects your muscle control, pleasure and pain emotions, and makes you tired.
Right. So in other words, causing fatigue, but it can also affect your muscle control, so the way you move your body, pleasure, pain, and emotions. So we all probably have experienced what caffeine can do to our mood. It's not always healthy. You know, a little bit might not hurt, but if you overdo it, I mean, we've all felt those effects ourselves. And so there is something that actually happens clinically in your body with your chemistry. You know, caffeine does change things. To explain it a little bit more, we go to the bottom of the sidebar. Caffeine's effects, Steve?
Yeah, let's do this. Improves short-term memory, mental function, alertness, and reaction time. Those are some positive things, okay? Caffeine is not all bad. Those are some positive things. But the negative is it can also disrupt sleep. Well, that may be a positive for some people, but for most of us, I think we want a good night's sleep. It also boosts blood pressure and speeds up heart. Again, could be good in certain situations if you needed the extra energy. It also promotes urination, making body lose calcium in the urine, which is very bad. It can reduce bone density, causing dehydration as well. Those are bad things.
Right. So, again, you do get that boost of energy. Everyone agrees on that. But the side effects may not be worth it. And again, we go to those energy drinks. The FDA at the time hadn't been regulating this at all, but Catherine, you said that has been changing.
Yes. From what I have read, these companies are now required to let consumers know how much caffeine is in each drink, which I think is only fair.
Right. And as we just saw, all those effects mean it's important to know if this is something that's healthy for you or not. But jumping back to our article on line 15, we see the response from the beverage industry.
Yeah, they say there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
Don't worry about it. They contend. In other words, they state as truth that their products are not dangerous when used in moderation by healthy people. And that's a big, big statement. When used in moderation. How is that defined? We have to define what moderation is first.
Right. So everything in moderation is a saying you might hear sometimes. And that's a good way to live, I think, usually.
Yeah, I think that what it means here is that you maybe can drink one or two of these drinks occasionally, but don't overdo it. I mean, you never want to overdo things. You don't want to overeat. You don't want to overexercise. You always do things in moderation.
Right. But again, how do you define moderation? And who says what is appropriate? What's a reasonable level of this or that? And most people are likely to get it wrong. And so we do get a response there from John P. Higgins, a sports cardiologist at the University of Texas. And what does he say?
Well, he agrees with what Catherine just said, that one or two is not going to kill you. But he says we don't know for certain. So the verdict is still out. There's still a lot of tests that need to be done, a lot of study that needs to be continued.
Right. It's not very promising. For a healthy person, probably one is not going to kill you, but we don't know. It's not very good odds to me. I don't know if it's worth it. But again, he comes back to that point that we made yesterday, that often it's a combination. You put it in the wrong situation, combine it with the wrong state of health or other medication or whatever the case may be, and that's where the problems start. Well, there is another issue at play here that we've been discussing that we need to talk about a little more. So let's finish up with our final reading.
Marketing to the young. Yet another issue raised by doctors and researchers is the marketing of energy drinks to young people, particularly through sponsorships of athletes and extreme sports. Unfortunately, kids in college, high school, and even younger see these athletes promoting it, said Cindy J. Chong, president of the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine and chief medical officer for the 2012 U.S. Olympic team. It's like thinking, wow, I need that shoe, or whatever. It's a brand associated with a personality, and they think, he's cool, she's a superstar, they're drinking it. A parent of two teenagers, Chong was at her daughter's club soccer last spring when she saw energy drink samples being distributed. All the girls took one, and here I am embarrassing my daughter by telling them, you can achieve just as much if you drink a glass of milk.
Okay, so part of the issue with all of these energy drinks is that they are marketing to the young. What does that mean, Steve?
It means they're being directed, they're being focused on young people. So in their advertisements on TV, radio, billboards, whatever, they're trying to attract young people so that they'll buy and use their product.
Right. Yet another issue raised by doctors and researchers is this trend that people are trying to focus these drinks at the kids. They're saying, you drink it, try it. It's great for your break at school, between sports, before games. What are some of the ways that they mention here?
They say that particularly through sponsorships of athletes and extreme sports. So these companies get an athlete to, make an advertisement that shows them drinking the drink so that young people see it and they want to try it too because this person is.
Right. And extreme sports, we talked about those last month when we talked about the dangers of some extreme sports.
Right. I believe that we talked about BMX and motocross. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, not the safest thing to do.
Yeah.
But very thrilling.
But very – and very cool. All right. So unfortunately, we see from Cindy J. Chang, who's president of the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine, as well as a medical expert for the 2012 Olympic team. What does she say about this?
Well, she says it's like thinking I need a new shoe or whatever. A lot of young people – think that they need new shoes and sneakers because their heroes, their athletic heroes, are wearing them. And it's kind of the same thing. And so she's saying it's brand associated with personality. And they think, oh, since my hero is wearing them or using energy drinks, I should too.
Right. Now, this is a whole other issue, I think. And it connects well. When athletes promote something, when they put their name on a certain product, they're making it – you know, they're giving it a certain status, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think most kids or most students, if they see their favorite athlete drinking it, they think, since he does it, it should be okay. It won't affect my health. They don't think that there are any negative effects maybe associated with this.
Right. So this is another point to consider. You know, if someone is famous and they put their name on something, there can be serious consequences to that, choosing to be associated with a certain product, a certain lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Because whenever they see these advertisements, they think that maybe this is something they do regularly, even though the athlete may just be taking a picture. He's not actually using the product.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah. It can be a little bit dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids see it and they think, this is so cool. I want to try it. I want to do it, too. Okay, so we continue with Cindy Chang, who has more than just a professional interest in this.
Right. She has a personal interest in it because she has two teenagers, and she was at her daughter's soccer game last spring when she saw energy drink samples being distributed. And this kind of bothered her.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered her a lot because she knows what's in these drinks, and she knows what they do to young people and athletes. And so I could see her telling her daughter, you know, don't drink it, and
yeah,
embarrassing her daughter in front of all of her friends. You know, don't drink that. Have a glass of milk instead.
Right. She actually says a glass of milk can do the same thing for you.
Right. I think it probably helps your bones. And yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Or a piece of fruit or yeah, an energy bar, something that's healthier. There are healthier choices besides energy drinks.
Definitely. And I do think that it makes me nervous to think about people just distributing these samples at the games. You know, again, it's advertising, and this is a popular way to advertise, of course. You give out free samples. People try it. They love it. They keep using it or buying it from then on. But to target kids this way with this type of product, I don't know. It sits a little badly with me as well. I don't feel so great about this kind of scenario.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's almost false advertising, just because, like we've said, no one is entirely sure what's in these drinks, and then they're handing them out to young children who are very receptive to things like this. And it's kind of, when you're that age, it's all about following the crowd. And so they're forming these really terrible habits really early.
Yes. And I remember this from being in high school. You know, my mom liked to pack my homemade lunch, and she would put, you know, pretzels from a big bag into like little leftover bags. And all my friends had these like custom made fancy lunches, you know, Lunchables and like these, you know, crackers with the cheese already on them and all those fancy things. And I just always wanted that stuff so badly. It's terrible for you, but it was cool.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be like your friends. And as Catherine said, I think these companies could be more responsible in their advertising to young people.
Yeah.
But as I was reading earlier, and there were all these news articles about how the trends, their sales have increased dramatically in the last few years. So to me, it just seems like they're trying to increase sales while they still can before these regulations really come down.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Okay, so we have learned a lot about energy drinks in this article, but we've also covered some very useful vocabulary. Catherine, what's one of the words that you noticed?
One of the words that I liked the best today was moderation. This is a term, we usually always see it with the word in. We talk about doing things in moderation. And it's, I think it's usually when it comes to things like this, when it comes to things, doing things that may not be the best for you, you have to make a positive choice or an informed choice and decide how much you want to consume or, you know, keep it healthy, basically, in moderation.
Yeah, I've heard people say everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah, that is true as well.
So it's still good to take a break sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I do think it's a good guideline, especially for your diet and for just taking care of your health. Mm-hmm. Steve, how about you?
I like bottom line. That's a word that's very useful. You'll see a lot. Especially if you're in the business world, you want to know what the bottom line is. You want to know what the most important fact is in a business decision. So you often hear that phrase, what's the bottom line? What's the most important thing I need to know right now?
Good. Well, the most important thing I think we need to know about this article, again, is to be informed about what we put in our bodies. My favorite term was probably dizzying. I like that one. The idea of something going so fast or there being so much of something that it's a little bit overwhelming. And I hope that this list of vocabulary words and specialized terms is not dizzying for you. We're more than halfway through July, so you're doing great if you're keeping up with us so far. And we have a lot more wonderful articles coming your way before the end of the month. So I hope you'll come back and join us for more. Until then, this is Naomi,
Catherine,
and Steve
saying goodbye.
Bye, friends.
Goodbye.